Father and sister,
let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with gladness because we have this opportunity to worship you, to listen to what you have to say to us, and help us to be like your beloved Mary, sit by your feet, and so that we can listen to what you have to say to us. Open our ear that we can hear, and open our eyes that we can see the wonderful thing that is written in the law, and help us to remember what we hear so that we can put what we learn into practice. Indeed, we will be truly blessed by you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know whether you pay attention when Katie read the scripture. There's a few things I want to mention in here. If you turn back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, the latter part of verse 10, as it is written, is written in the law. Written in the law, that means that is what God said. He said, there is no one righteous, not even one. I don't know how you feel, you know. Before we read the scripture, we thought we are pretty good. But then God said, there's no one righteous, not even one. Okay? And sometimes when we read the Bible like, is a progressive understanding of the scripture. When you read one portion of the scripture, you understand one thing, and then you read another portion of the scripture, your knowledge increases. I don't know whether you remember, when you hear the Bible say there's no one righteous, not even one. And I don't know whether you remember that the angel of the Lord come to Sodom and Gomorrah to deliver the righteous person, Lot. You remember that? And in the meantime, the faithful servant of the Lord, Abraham, he prayed for that city. And you remember that? He said, oh Lord, if there's 50 righteous men, will you spare that? You know, at least we say, wow, maybe there's 50 righteous person. Well, in Abraham's sight, right? And then he revealed 45, we do 5 and then 45 and then 10, you say, okay, 30, 40, and then all the way down to what, 10? Wow, Abraham thing. I think I did a good job already. I mean, if that's 10 people, righteous, then you spare the city, right? That means you answer my prayer, and I'm good to go, right? Lo and behold, not good to go. The whole city was destroyed. At first, when we read that portion of the Bible, we thought in this big city, there is at least, could you write that down? Right beside Romans chapter 3 verse 11, there's no one, chapter 3 verse 11, there's no one righteous, not even one. Right beside that, could you do me a favor, write down Genesis chapter 18. And, 18 down to verse 32. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry and let me speak just one more time. He thought, you know, this last time he got it. What if only 10 can be found there? 10 righteous men. The Lord answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy. When the Lord has finished speaking with Abraham, because Abraham has nothing to say now, he left. God left and Abraham also left. Now, do me a favor, right beside Genesis chapter 18, I want you to turn to Prophets. Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, the Bible says, go up and down the streets of Jerusalem, look around and consider, search through her square. If you can, in the square, there's a lot of people gathering together, just like the Times Square, just like any other square, you know. People using that place to meet friends and sometimes ride in the square too. If there's a lot of people in the square, okay, search through her square, the square of Jerusalem. If you can find but one person who deal honestly and seeks the truth, the Lord says, I will forgive this city. Brother and sister, the Lord speaking to the faithful servant Jeremiah, asking Jeremiah to go up and down the street. He can't find one, but he looked inside. He's not either. If he's the righteous one, he say, hey, Lord Jesus, you know what? You tell me to go up and down, I search thoroughly. I cannot find anyone, but when I look inside, not even mine is righteous. The Lord say, if you can find one, I spare the city. Now, listen to me carefully. Abraham thought there's at least 10, because Lord is a righteous person, and he must have preached the gospel. I mean, throughout his life, come on, you know, I mean, he must have shared, you know. At least he have some children, too. I mean, two daughters, right? And two daughters just about to get married, too, is two son-in-law, right? Two daughters, two son-in-law, maybe the from their relative side, their parents, you know. At least you got 10, for sure. Abraham, okay, listen to me carefully. If Abraham thinks that 5, 10 is not good enough, he will go down to 1. Don't you think? He thought it's good enough already. For sure, you know, Lord know how to share the gospel. At least 10 people, and I'm good to go. But lo and behold, the Bible says it's not good to go. Not even Jerusalem. Hey, Jerusalem supposed to be better than Sodom and Gomorrah, right? But not even one in Jerusalem. How can there's 10 in Sodom and Gomorrah? Brother and sister, when you read the Bible, don't just use one Bible verses to develop your theology. You'll understand. It's very, very dangerous. Does that make sense? I want to give a few proof so that we know our condition, so that we know how to face God ahead of time. Is that fair? Okay, let's take a look, go back to Romans chapter 3. He said in verse 10, there's no one righteous, not even one. And then take a look at the one who is after God's heart. He is the righteous person in God's sight, David, okay? And would you please turn to Psalm? Psalm 130, verse 1. Out of the depth I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be attentive to my cry for mercy. Verse 3. If you, O Lord, keep a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. I repeat that again. Verse 3. If you, O Lord, keep a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Who could stand before God in the judgment seat of Christ? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. You and I know that David's sins of committing adultery and David's sins of murdering the husband of that adulterous woman. And because of that, he wanted to cover up his sin. Some of the soldiers in the battlefield was struck to death. So David is a murderer. If he is a murderer, but you and I, right beside Psalm 130, you write down Psalm 32, David said, Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man who, since the Lord does not count against him. What's the reason why does not count against him? Because he confessed his sins. And then the Lord keep no record of it. You don't confess it, the Lord will keep record of it. Oh Lord, you are the one who keep it. If you keep the record of sin, who can stand before you? And David said, blessed is the man whose sins the Lord does not count against him, because it has been erased, and in whose spirit is no deceit. I want you to remember that. If you are a cunning man, if you are a wicked man, you cover up your sin, you cover up yourself, you don't let Jesus Christ to cover it, you'll be in trouble. You cover it up, then that's what happened in verse 3 and 4. When I kept silent, that means do not confess my sins before the Lord. When I kept silent, that means my spirit has deceit in my heart. I thought nobody knows. Besides, I'm king. Nobody dared to talk to me like that. So when I keep silent, my bone wasted away. If your bone wasted away, that means you can have leukemia. The bone marrow cannot manufacture blood, and sooner or later you will die. You will be very weak through my groaning all day long. Verse 4. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. The Lord did not let him go. You don't confess your sin, you will be in deep trouble. And David said, my strength was sap as in the heat of summer. He knows he's just about to die. That's no good. In verse 5, circle the word damn. He knows the consequences. Because the hand of the Lord was heavy upon me. He won't let him go. If he let him go, he will go to hell. The Lord going to use David as an example how to save all the wicked and sinner people. Then I acknowledge my sins to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I want to circle the word. Verse 5, cover up my iniquity. There are two kind of people who will cover up your iniquity. One is verse 1, is the Lord. One in verse 5, is yourself. One is man, one is God. You cover up your iniquity, that means you refuse to confess your sins. That's why he get punishment from the Lord. But then he say, I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Psalm 32 come first. Psalm 130 come later. When the people who pray like this, if you, O Lord, keep a record of sin, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. In order for you and me, including David, get his sins forgiven, we have to confess it. Do we agree? I hope we have this kind of understanding. So help us to understand the latter portion of the scripture. Now go back. In verse chapter 3, verse 11, he said, there's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. In other words, if I do not seek God, although I read the scripture, I do not understand. That's why Paul said that, quoting the Old Testament scripture, there is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. In other words, if I just read the scriptures superficially, I do not understand God's word. I need someone
who understood God's word and explained to me. Do me a favor, I use some portion of the scripture to make the illustration of my point. Turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 8. A bribe is a charm to the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he succeeds. Superficially, you look at it, sounds like the Lord encouraged us to give bribe. Because wherever he turns, he succeeds. We want to be successful. We want to be prosperous. Brother and sister, am I right? I say superficially. Is it that? It sounds like the Lord wants us to do that. If anyone wants to be successful, will you please raise your hand? If anyone wants to be prosperous in all your way, will you please raise your hand? You remember last week we hear the Bible say in Psalm chapter 1 verse 1, the wicked thing I do not follow. 1:1:1:1, right? And then 1:2, but my delight is only in the law of the Lord. And on the law of the Lord, I meditate day and night. I meditate day and night. That means I seek the Lord. I don't want to misunderstand him. If I don't study scripture diligently and seek him diligently, very easy, I'm going to misinterpret the Bible. Will you please do me a favor right beside that? Right beside 17 verse 8, you write down 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's hear what Peter say regarding the consequences if I misinterpret the scripture. I will destroy my own life. Chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 16. He said, Paul writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them in all his letters of this matter. What Peter is trying to say, what I'm writing is exactly the same as what Peter is saying, what I'm writing is the same as what Paul is writing. And Paul's letters contain something that are hard to understand. Now, circle the word hard to understand. But the Bible says, chapter 3, verse 11, Romans, there is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. And Peter said that his letter contains something that are hard to understand, which ignorance and unstable people distort as they do the other scripture to their own destruction. Brother and sister, if you read the Bible and you think you understand, but indeed you do not understand, and you follow this advice, you follow this instruction, then you're going to destroy your own life. Do me a favor. Right beside 17:8, you write down 17, you write down 17:23. A wicked man accepts a bribe in secret to pervert the course of justice. Wicked people accept bribe. And then he accepted in secret. Nobody knows it, but the Lord knows that. Why he accepted bribe? Because the rich people want him to pervert, to change the course of justice. You do it, you're going to destroy your career. You're going to destroy your life. You
know what, in Hong Kong, it used to be a long time ago, right? Some engineer go to the job site to do inspection. And if the construction company steal the material, don't want to do things according to the blueprint, they will give you money. You take the money, you're going to lose the profession. If they find it out, you're going to go to jail. That's exactly what happened less than a month ago. There's an earthquake in Taiwan, and they find out the building is subpar. Why subpar? Because after the engineer inspect, before they pour the concrete, they steal the concrete. They don't know. I inspect on Friday, they're going to pour on Monday. Lo and behold, on Monday, before they pour the concrete, I go there and I find out the rebar was stolen. I stopped the project. Now I don't even know which building it is. So I know that in Hong Kong, there's all kind of building like that. You know, you spend million dollars to buy a house like this, and then end up people not following the engineer. They say, well, I know better. You're over designed. I take the material. You know what I mean? Listen to me. Don't give bribe. Don't accept bribe. All right? So, wow, this is what the Bible says. Wherever he turns, he succeeds. I want to be successful. Now, right beside that, you write 17:4. A wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. Not everything in the Bible is what God wants you to do. Something that God say that is say what the wicked people do. He's not saying that you're going to do it. Does it make sense? It leads me to the next portion of the scripture, verse 9. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Do you know why? Do you know why so many people leave Jesus when Jesus was on earth? Can anyone give me, based upon your knowledge of the scripture, could you give me some answer? Do you know why Jesus is the most gentleman in the whole earth? Do we agree? How come he is such a good man and he heals sickness, he delivers people, and yet when he preached, people forsake him and deserted him? Can you give me some kind of a reason for that? Is he a rich man or is he a poor man? Well, the Bible says a rich man has a lot of friends. Poor man, even his relatives, shun away from him because I don't want you to ask me for money, you know. You understand what I'm trying to say? Is Jesus a rich man or a poor man? He's not only rich in heaven, he's supposed to be rich on earth. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9? 2 Corinthians, take a look. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Could we read it together? For here is my advice. Chapter 8, verse 9. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, and yet, for your sake, Jesus Christ became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. But superficially, he's poor, right? If he's rich, after he preaching at Jerusalem, he could
able to stay in the hotel and stay in the mansion. You know, he just give 12 disciples to stay in that house, you know. He had money, he just pay the hotel, motel, whatever. But he, what? After he preaching at Jerusalem, nobody there to accommodate them because they scare and fear of Pharisee elders and all these chief priests. So he leave Jerusalem and walk to the Mount Olives. And then right in the mountain, he sleep over there. He's a homeless. You understand? He's homeless. Although people say, oh, I love Jesus, I love to hear his preaching, but don't even invite him to come to his house to stay overnight. Can anyone tell me, other than he's poor, superficially, what's the reason when he preached and people forsake him? Do any person know the answer? Jean, do you know the answer? Will you speak louder and record it? Oh, wow. You're a pretty smart girl, eh? Where you learned it from? Okay, write down. Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 40. Jesus say, what I hear from the Father, then I tell you the truth. Because I tell you the truth, from what I hear from the Father, you try to kill me. And Abraham did not do it. Because when Abraham hear the truth, Abraham turn around and repent. But where's those people? They claim themselves to be the descendant of Abraham, but they don't follow his forefather's action. Abraham did not do such thing. If you claim to be his descendant, like father, like son. John chapter 8 verse 40, as it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, and I heard a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such thing. Brother and sister, the reason why people desert, the reason why people desert Jesus, because he told the truth. When he tells the truth, people always oppose him, including his 12 apostles. Did anyone remember that Jesus said to Peter, when the shepherd was struck, all his sheep will be scattered? Jesus quoted these Bible verses from Zechariah chapter 13. But his 12 apostles did not recognize that is in the scripture. And then Peter is the leader of the 12 apostles. Peter said, even though if I die, I will not disown you. Then Jesus said, before the rose grow, before the rooster grow, you deny me 3 times. You know, Donald knows the truth, then he can't help to help me. You know, that's good, you know. Well, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong, you know. He cannot help you. That Chinese guy, his English not that good, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? That's good stuff, you know. Now, where are we? No, I mean, that's okay there. I forget what I'm going to say, you know. Like, you know, the Bible say, Peter say, I'm willing to die with you. I won't deny you. You know what happened? The Bible say in Matthew, all the other apostles say the same thing. In other words, when Jesus tells the truth, before the rooster crow, you deny me 3 times? That's the truth. Why? Because when he make this comment, he based upon the Zechariah chapter 13, when the shepherd was struck, when you see a danger, the natural instinct is forsake him. Because if he cannot protect himself, how can he protect me? We will forsake him. That's the truth. He's telling the truth, but people hear the truth and still oppose it. Brother and sister, that is why Would you please do me a favor, go back to Proverbs chapter 17. He who cover over an offense promotes love. But whoever repeats the matter separate close friends. I want to explain the latter portion of the scripture first. Verse 9, the latter portion of the scripture. The latter portion of the scripture, could you do me a favor? You write down Matthew chapter 23. Whoever repeats the matter separate close friend. Is this the instruction? First of all, I ask, is this God's word? I think it's God's word, right? Okay, that's good. Now, I think it's God's word. Now, how come, according to Matthew chapter 23, don't you think Jesus know Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9? Anyone think that Jesus know this portion of the scripture? Would you please raise your hand? He understand the scripture. He know the meaning of it. Okay, I think he knows the meaning of it. If he truly know the meaning of it, then my question to you is, why he did what he's doing? Why didn't he follow the instruction? 79. Whoever repeats the matter, separate close friends. Repeat the matter. What's the matter? You write that Matthew chapter 23. He say, woe to you, teacher of the law. He mentioned it 8 times. Man, you mentioned 8 times. You know the end result? The end result is they're going to forsake you. They're not going to follow you because they thought you curse at them. You say, woe to me, woe to me. Will you do me a favor? Turn to Matthew chapter 23. I want you to circle the Bible verses, okay? Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. In verse 13, circle the word, woe to you, 13. You write number 1. And then 14, there's no 14 in the English one, but you look at the footnotes, it's 14. Woe to you. 15. Number 3, woe to you. 16, woe to you. Number what? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 already, right? Number 5, verse 23, woe to you. Number 6, 25 is 6. Woe to you. Number 7, verse 27, woe to you. Number 8, 29, woe to you. So I do me a favor. In the Bible, it says 7 woe. That's wrong. It's 8 woe. It's not 7, 8. Right beside Matthew chapter 23, you write down Matthew chapter 5. Jesus Christ talk about, blessed are those, blessed are you. 8 blessing, beatitude. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talk about beatitude 8 times. And then Matthew chapter 23, 8 times, woe to you. Hey, Jesus should know better. If Pastor John know the Bible verses, Jesus know even more better. And how come he keep doing it? Because he know if you keep doing that, woe to you, woe to you, woe to you. Is he overkill? What is his intention? See? But did he know that? People will forsake him. Not only forsake him, according to Gospel of John chapter 8 verse 40, they're going to kill him. You despise me in front of all the people? That's why he was crucified on the cross. Is he telling the truth? Woe to you. He's telling the truth. When he say, blessed are you, is he telling the truth also? I think he's telling the truth also. You know what? We love to hear beatitude, the 8 blessings, but we don't want to do it. And 8 woe, we don't want to hear, nor do we want to change it.
That's why the Bible says, there is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. But the one who seeks God will understand. Now, Pastor John, what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say to you is, don't just look at one Bible verses and think that you understand the Bible verses and you use that Bible verses to accuse the other people. Or you use that Bible verses to say, I'm going to gung-ho, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do something about that. Because wherever I turn, I want to be succeed. I want to be successful, you know. Oh, I'm going to give bribe. Now go back. I explain the first portion of the scripture. 17, verse 9. He who covers over an offense promotes love. Do you know why? A lot of parents do not want to tell the kid there's something wrong with you because he's afraid that you hurt his feeling. Do you know why a lot of teachers in public school, in private school, especially private school, they don't want to tell the children or students there's something wrong with you? Why? He followed the Bible verses. I want to promote love. Am I right? You know what? When you see your friend say, wow, you know, everything you say is good. Everything you put on is beautiful. He become your good friend, I guarantee you. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's why a lot of people, when they interact with one another, they're not telling the truth. They're using God's word. I want to promote love. Brother and sister, I want you to listen to that. If you distort the scripture, you destroy your own life. Are you telling me Jesus Christ not promote love? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is what? God is love. No one promote love more than Jesus Christ promote love. You know what I mean? You know? Not John. I say, 1 John. John and 1 John make a difference too, you know? 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Could you do me a favor? Go back to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. He who covers over an offense promotes love. Let's say you interact with your friend. You know that your friend is a non-Christian, but I don't want to upset my non-Christian friend, because I want to be a good friend of him. I don't share the truth to my friend, nor do I share the gospel, the good news, but we maintain the friendship. We want to promote love. Could you tell me what happened in the end? Let's say his friend passed away. His friend passed away. Suddenly. Will his friend, without hearing the good news, hearing the gospel, will his friends go to heaven or his friends go to hell? Right. Go to hell? So without sharing the good news and the truth to your friend, are you truly promote love or not promote love? Andy? Huh? He's not promoting love. Okay. If we
let's say, assuming we all agree, by not telling the truth, because you're afraid to separate close friend. If you repeat the matter, you separate close friend. I tell, hey, when I tell you shut up, you shut up, you don't share the gospel to me, or else I'm not going to go out with you. You listen to him instead of listen to what the Bible says. When the Spirit of the Lord come upon you, then you have power to witness for Jesus. You don't pray about it. Oh, you know, when he tells me to shut up, I got to shut up because I don't get power. Could you do me a favor and give me the power and courage and strength and share the gospel? Then I do it the next time. You know what I mean? And he gonna rebuild me again. You know what I mean? Right? Same as my brother say, you come to my house, okay, but don't tell me any other thing, okay? You want a coffee? I say, I want a coffee. And after a coffee, I share the gospel. You know what I mean? I get kicked out, you know? Right? But one day here in the gospel, that seed, the word of God will germinate in God's time. And he will repent and turn around and be saved. Now, if I understand this, he who cover over an offense promotes love. There are three persons can cover over an offense. Number one, yourself. You write down Psalm 32, 3 and 4. David himself covered over the offense. What is the end result? Did he have a healthy body? Or he's just about to die? What happened to hand? The hand of the Lord was heavy upon me, right? And I lost my strength. I lost my strength. I lost my health. And my bone dry up. The bone marrow cannot manufacture blood, and there's no life in it. I go to a hospital, visit older people. I say, hey, how come this morning you're so healthy? You're so energetic. Is the doctor give you new blood? He say, yeah. And after the new blood die away, and then you become weak again. Brother and sister, make sure we have a good bone marrow so that you can be energized, right? By doing so, confess your sins. Acknowledge you are wicked people. Acknowledge when I read the Bible, most of the time I misunderstood. For the Bible clearly stated that no one understands, no one seek me. Do you seek God by meditating the Word of God? Not just one portion of the Scripture, but all other portions of the Scripture? I found out that, number one, you can cover up your sins. The end result is death. You write down Psalm 32, 3 and 4. Another person will cover up your sins is your friend. Your good friend, so-called. Because he would not want you, he did not want you to separate from him. We are buddy-buddy. So that's why he don't repeat the matter. Because he know that when he repeat the matter, you upset. He didn't want you to upset. He don't talk about that. He cover over your offense because he say the Bible say that promote truth. Promote love. I want to promote love. I want to have a good atmosphere within my family, within my friendship. I want to maintain that love. Does it make sense? You know what? Most of the time, we read the scripture at night when we are so tired. Next morning, I have to go to work. And 17:9, said, that is it. Promote love. I got the truth. Thank you, Jesus. I know what to do. And they end up what? I tell you what happened. Could you do me a favor? Right beside 17:9, promote love, circle the word promote love. You write down Ezekiel chapter 3, 18 to 21. It sounds like what the Lord wants the Son of Man, Ezekiel, to do, doesn't promote love. But in reality, Ezekiel is promote love. Brother and sister, you know what's the disaster happening in the church? The person who truly promote love, you thought he's your enemy. The one who did not promote love, you say, he's my buddy, buddy. Did anyone say amen? Hey? I read that to you. That's God's word. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil way in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. You cover up your friend's sins, and when he dies, God say, I'm going to hold you accountable to his death. You say, Pastor John, this is New Old Testament teaching. I'm a New Testament Christian. You write beside that, you write 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 to 7. The Paul say, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. You think you promote love? You don't promote love. You promote hatred. You want your friend to go to hell. Paul say, yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, then I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. Both the Old Testament teaching and the New Testament teaching tell the same thing. And brother and sister, I want you to circle the word, repeat the matter. If you repeat the matter, you separate close friend, right beside the latter portion of 17:9b. You write down three things. Do me a favor, turn to Ezekiel chapter 8, Ezekiel chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 20. You know, if you don't understand the scripture, you say that Ezekiel is a fool because his ministry can be of great help by the elder. Why would he repeat the matter saying to the elder, you are wicked, in chapter 8, chapter 14, and chapter 20? He separate close friend. You know what? He tried to save the elder. If he can save the leader, he can save the rest of the congregation. That's why Jesus said, woe to you 8 times. It's the teacher of the law. If they turn around, one of them turn. Who is it? Nicodemus. Another turn, Saul, he become Paul. Brother and sister, don't just look at one Bible verse and think that you understood. You have to use this interpretation to compare with other Bible verses. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 8. I want you to circle the word. Chapter 8, verse 9. He said to me, go and see the wicked and detestable thing they are doing here. And so I went in and looked, and I saw prostrate all over the wall, all kind of crawling things and detestable animals, and all the idols of the house of Israel. In front of them stood 70 elders of the house of Israel. And then each has a censer in his hand. They pray to the elders, 70 elders, they pray to the idol. And a fragrant cloud of incense was rising. I want you to write that down. Chapter 8, verse 9 to 11. Chapter 14, verse 1, all the way to 5. Some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat down in front of me. Then the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, this man has set up idol in their heart and put up wicked stumbling block before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? Therefore speak to them and tell them. This is what the sovereign Lord said. When any Israelite set up an idol in his heart and put a wicked stumbling block before his face, and then go to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him myself in keeping with his great idolatry. I will do this to recapture the heart of the people of Israel who have all deserted me for their idol. God said, I'm going to discipline them. Hey, chapter 8, already talked about that. Why chapter 14 talk about again? Go to chapter 20. You know what? If the elder come to you, you're supposed to answer his request and give what he wants, then maintain the friendship. You maintain the friendship in this way, in your own way. You destroy the life of the elder. God said, I'm going to destroy your life, brother and sister. Before chapter 8, chapter 14, chapter 20, you write down Ezekiel chapter 3, 18 to 21. You have to know God's word. Don't try to cover up your friend's sin and send them to hell. Finally, chapter 20. Because of time, you read it yourself. Number 3, who covered up? Jesus covered up. So these Bible verses is for Jesus. Jesus covered up your sin is to promote love. How did he cover? First of all, he exposed it first, and then asked you to confess it, repent. Bam, you got it. Everybody say, our Heavenly Father, we delayed the 5 minutes. Forgive me, and I pray that you help us, help your servant every time when he explains God's word, make it clear to your children. I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.